B-Pod Studios.
Hey, this is WWE Hall of Famer and Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
This week's Wrestling Inside the Ropes is brought to you by WWE 2K Battlegrounds, featuring over 70 WWE superstars and legends. WWE 2K Battlegrounds is an all-new, over-the-top, multiplayer arcade experience featuring interactive environments and devastating power-ups. Now available at WWE2KBattlegrounds.com, and that's Battlegrounds with an S. Mike Riley, I know NXT TakeOver has just finished up, but I think the biggest story in wrestling relates to Roman Reigns. I had one wrestler during the week text me to say, quote, "This Roman Reigns story could be the best thing WWE has done since they fell into the Daniel Bryan run to WrestleMania 30. I've also had two friends of mine who have been, quote, out, unquote, on wrestling for years ask me about the Roman Reigns turn. So it seems to me like a big deal. And they're doing wonderful storytelling, Mike Riley, for the Roman Reigns situation. Every time Mike says storytelling this week, you have to drink something.
Water.
And I get that many fans have been yelling for this type of Roman Reigns character change for 3 or 4 years. And there's an argument to be made to shame the WWE for taking this long to do this. But in this case, I'm not going to shame them for it. I'm going to say finally. And I think logically, the reason why Roman Reigns is with Paul Heyman is playing the villain role is because WWE isn't selling tickets to fans right now. The WWE has one real revenue stream, and it's television. It's television ratings. And it's been WWE's biggest revenue stream for years and years and years now. It's TV and online merch. Those are their two main forms of revenue. There's no live events. There's no live event merch to be sold. So, and there's no going to the Good Morning America people to promote upcoming events or to recap WrestleMania or any other major shows. So that's a big part of it. Part two of it is WWE viewership numbers have been hovering around 2 million and have been for the last few months. I mean, we know that the debut episode of SmackDown last year hit 4 million. That was because everybody wanted to see The Rock, and there was a whole bunch of hype and media marketing and all that. And now it's hovered down. But when Roman Reigns started, WWE was around 4 million TV viewers weekly. So if TV ratings are so important and the most important thing, WWE has to take a chance that Vince McMahon wouldn't do with Hulk Hogan and he wouldn't do with John Cena. And that's turn his biggest draw, his biggest star, his biggest recent creation, his main eventer of WrestleMania 4 times into a villain. There is still a belief amongst many people that I talk to, both in the wrestling circle and not in the wrestling circle, that Roman Reigns is going to end up a massive good guy on the other side of this. But for now, Mike Riley, I enjoy this Roman Reigns. I'm here for it.
Yep, yeah, I am too. And it's funny you said that, turning into a good guy, because I've also heard that from a few others as well, that it will eventually look that way. Maybe not, say, 3-4 months down the line, but within a year or so, story-wise, with Paul Heyman, turning on him and become a face again. But this was, again, to your point, with revenue down, live audience not there, losing money at the gate, losing your merchandise sales, the WWE made a brilliant move here with Roman Reigns turning heel, going to something that is so unorthodox of Vince McMahon to do that on his biggest star, who he has shoved down our throats, as you mentioned there, the past 4 WrestleManias and so forth, or highlighting 4 WrestleManias in the main event spotlight there. And here he is as a heel, doing everything that they can to be creative here to garner that interest for the audience on the television spectrum of things, because that is what they rely on right now. So it's a great thing. And Paul Heyman, again, perfect guy to be right there with Roman Reigns, be the mouthpiece for Roman Reigns. Look what he's done for Brock Lesnar. I mean, Lesnar's an attraction. Heyman has been, he's probably the like I've said before, Bobby Heenan is one and Heyman is 1A right there for managerial positions.
He's
right?
An advocate.
He's a managerial position and he's perfect in the microphone. He's fantastic. And this is a great equation for both of these guys right here. And, you know, for Roman Reigns, again, last week, and I'm not going to use the word over and over again, but that what we saw.
What would that be, Mike?
The match with Jey Uso, it was tremendous storytelling. There you go.
There you go. Take a shot. What's your drink to shoot?
Have a shot of apple juice. It was great. And it's a perfect situation right here. And again, you don't have to worry about the crowd. I mean, listen, you don't have that live reaction there if they're going to boo him off the ring or if they're going to cheer for him. It's a perfect test to really, just really give everyone a little piece of how we should test out Roman Reigns' character here. And I guess if there's a blessing in disguise for the pandemic, this is it right here for WWE with Roman Reigns turning heel.
So I'm not sure that it's pandemic-based that Roman Reigns has turned. I think it's competition-based. But that's something that I want to dive into in next week's episode because I think that there's a conversation to have about All Elite Wrestling, and it's 1 year anniversary. But I don't want to do that this week. I want to do that next week.
All right, I'll save that thought because I think it is pandemic.
Good. We'll discuss that. We'll think that out. We'll have a good discussion about that.
Yeah, can't wait.
But I really love that Jey Uso is going to be the challenger for Roman Reigns at Hell in a Cell, and that it's going to be a Hell in a Cell because.
Oh, so it is going to be Hell in a Cell.
It is.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure when
never
they
been
said
higher.
Yeah. I wasn't sure when they said all that if it's definitely going to be in the cell. Okay. All
right. That's at least my interpretation of it.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to...
Because Roman says the stakes have never been higher. Right. And to me, that's layered, right?
Right.
That's the title's on the line, the tribal family is on the line, and it's going to be in Hell in a Cell. And you'll remember the great Usos New Day match and tag team match in Hell in a Cell. Roman Reigns had a great match with Rusev in Boston at Hell in a Cell for the U.S. Championship.
Yep.
So I like the fact that it's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Going to be in a Hell in a Cell. At least that's my interpretation of it. Even though WrestleVote says that the main event is going to be of Hell in a Cell is going to be Sasha and Bayley in Hell in a Cell, but we'll get to Sasha and Bayley because I think we have a disagreement point on this one.
Yeah.
I think the Jey Uso Roman Reigns match is going to be a lot more competitive, but the ending is going to be the same. Roman Reigns wins, and that's the right move. There's going to be more trash talk, and let's kind of see where that happens and where that goes forward. But just playing the game out, right? Where could this tribal chief agenda of Roman Reigns go next after Jey Uso? We might go to Jimmy Uso. But what got my wheels turning? How about Samoa Joe? He's seemingly the only Samoan in wrestling that isn't connected to the wild Samoans of Afa and Zika and The Rock. So why not Samoa Joe? Can you imagine Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe having one hell of a program between promos, the hard-hitting wrestling style, and you all know my bias for and love for Samoa Joe. But that's just thinking forward and progressing where this storyline could be going because we all think that it's going to end up WrestleMania 37, which it looks like it's going to be in Tampa against The Rock. And so if that's where the goal is, this seems to follow a steady path. And Roman Reigns getting a win over Samoa Joe and the promos and the emotional investment, I think that's good for everybody involved.
So I like that. So obviously with the draft, you would then throw Samoa Joe right to SmackDown. No issue there. That's the storyline scenario. As far as, let me go to Samoa Joe in just a moment, but with the other thing with Jimmy Uso back, the other route I could totally see, where I touched on this briefly last week, is where Jimmy Uso came down last week at the end of the match, threw in the towel for his brother. You could see, I could see the Usos, Jimmy and Jay, in a handicap match with Roman Reigns. Here you are, Hell in a Cell, and Roman, you know, beats the crap out of Jay again, or just has a great match. And Jimmy comes down, does what he can, and, you know, Roman challenges both of them. So I could totally see that maybe at the Survivor Series have, you know, Roman versus the Uso brothers right there, and just build on that storyline for that. If they're going to keep this going with the Usos and Roman and the Tribal Chief, then it's, I think that's where I totally see that happening because of what he did. That Tribal Chief there is a huge deal in the Samoan culture. But I like what you're saying with Samoa Joe. It's a great opportunity for him where he's been so underappreciated, underutilized in the ring. And this would be the perfect scenario for him in that main event spot. It's almost like he's been punished, right? In the ring, like he just doesn't get that. What's his? He hasn't had a big push in the ring.
Hey, what do you mean being punished?
Like, you see, he hasn't been in a main event spot. Like, he is a main event guy. He's got that size. He's a good in ring performer. It's almost like he just has not been. He's not there. He's not in a pay per view setting. His commentary right now. It feels like he has a behind the scenes punishment for some reason.
So you'll remember that Samoa Joe had a concussion. He had a failed drug test.
Right.
And the other thing is, when Paul Heyman put him on commentary because he was coming off an injury, according to Samoa Joe, Vince McMahon said, "You have a voice of an angel. Where has this been all of your career?"
Yeah.
You know, and it's Samoa Joe, and it could be, you know, him just working a podcast.
Right.
Like, you know, The Elias interview from like a year ago, mm-hmm. where Elias is telling me, yeah, Vince called me directly and I talk to Vince every day. And it's like, yeah, I know you're blowing smoke, but I'll go along with it because it's entertaining. and maybe it's true. Maybe Vince is a very hands on mm-hmm. With everybody and not just, you know, in an instance, you know, blowing smoke.
Yeah.
But I do think that Vince does love Joe on commentary because he keeps trotting him out there.
Right.
And it's obvious that he didn't like Vic Joseph because Vic Joseph just did NXT. I don't think Vince has ever seen Samoa Joe as the WWE champion. And I also think that the challengers for the WWE championship and the Universal Championship are more the selections of the champion. And what I mean by that is AJ Styles and Samoa Joe had four matches when AJ was on his run.
Yep.
And I think that is I think that's just a longstanding Vince thing. Is Vince goes, "Who do you want to work with?" And AJ Styles goes, "I want to work with Samoa Joe." And that's because they worked in TNA right. Impact together. They worked in Ring of Honor together. There's chemistry there. And then they add their own little personal element to it. And also something that I noticed when I was watching the Steve Austin, Kurt Angle podcast on the WWE Network.
Oh, I can't wait to watch that.
It's a fabulous watch, and it makes me forget how good Kurt Angle was.
Yeah.
And if we want to go back to the list thing, Kurt Angle should have been on the top 10.
He was right outside there for me.
And I think I just slept on all of his Impact TNA work, and that's on me. But Kurt Angle, one of the greats of all time.
Yep.
But one thing that Kurt Angle said was when he won in Pittsburgh, the week before, he wasn't supposed to win that match. The week before, he called Vince and said, "Vince, you know, with everything that's going on, 9/11 just happened and it's my hometown. You know, let's give the fans something to cheer for, mm-hmm. something that, you know, will send them home happy. And even if it's only for a day or a week or whatever, like have Kurt Angle go over Steve Austin for the WWE Championship."
Right.
And Vince said, if Steve's okay with it, Steve Austin, if Steve Austin is okay with it, then we can do it. So Kurt Angle calls Steve Austin. Steve Austin says, yeah, I'll do it. So it just makes me think that his top performer, his top champion, has a bigger say in who his opponents are than we ever give it credit for. Example, you know, and we'll talk about NXT TakeOver, which was a really strong show.
Yeah.
Finn Balor's in the ring with Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have pegged Kyle O'Reilly for that spot.
Yep.
But based on the mutual respect that Finn Balor has for just about everybody,
right?
Kyle O'Reilly, and they tore the house down. They had a
match.
Awesome match.
Yep.
Kyle O'Reilly is in that spot because of Finn Balor.
Exactly.
I think, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah, Balor gave him the push. And that's the, you know, back to the Roman Reigns story. Jey Uso's in that position because of Roman Reigns. There you go. That's your point. And there you go with Kyle O'Reilly with Finn Balor. Makes perfect sense. Without those two, they would not be right there in that spot. But just something else on Samoa Joe, I just want to touch on too. You know, I made the thing, it just feels like he's been punished. I know the drug thing and all that in the past. But when you are a wrestler not in the ring, don't you think Samoa Joe would rather be in the ring instead of doing
100%.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, 100%. So
especially when he would only have to work once a week.
Yes, exactly. So I just, that's where I'm feeling like it's like a punishment thing, i.e. mid-90s when the Macho Man felt underutilized. And then, of course, he revamped his career in the WCW after that. He didn't want to do commentary. He didn't want to do all that. He wanted to be in the ring. Vince wouldn't give him the chance. Kind of has that same parallel scenario there, in my book, at least, in my view.
And you'll remember Taz was removed from in-ring competition to do commentary.
Right.
And he ended up loving it.
Yeah.
And it took him out of the ring. It gave him a little bit of security being a broadcaster. And he's still one of the best color commentators that there's been.
Yeah.
He does work for AEW now, and he's great.
He's very good. But
he was great in Impact. He was great on SmackDown all those years. He's just got a feel for when to be serious and when to, you know, crack jokes.
And he's crafted himself a national radio program, which is fantastic, talking about pro wrestling. But Samoa Joe, you know, if he's not going to be happy, I could totally see him making a jump to AEW if his contract's up.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that AEW's looking to sign people, and I have a point on that.
But
specifically, Matt Cardona,
who had essentially
five matches or five appearances, and that's Cody's friend, and Cody's a VIP, and Cody couldn't get him a longer term contract. There's more to this story here, and the wrestling media, I'm not sure, is doing a good job of covering it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's more to that story. And if there isn't, if this is just Tony Khan being like, yeah, I don't see anything, then we have to look at the WWE and credit them and say, wow, they really did get the most out of Zack Ryder.
Yeah. Yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
You know it. one piece of audio that was not planned, folks. That was improv'd.
It was good.
That's the best chemistry Mike and I have had in almost 175 episodes of this podcast. one piece of audio that did catch my ear this week, 100%. That's part of the gimmick, pal.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
One piece of audio that caught my ear this week as it relates to the future Roman Reigns opponents is CM Punk's name came up on a podcast, and Roman said that he didn't like Punk, but he would do business with him.
As big as The Rock to someone, you know, like a CM Punk, for instance, you know what I mean? Like someone who really hits home with our home audience, our hardcore fans, but then you probably have some kind of feelings about that guy. I know I do, you know, just by doing one of these things, he made my job a lot harder over, you know, 5-10 years ago. I'm willing to do it. I don't like the guy. I mean, I don't know many people that do, but I'm willing to put business first and make really good content if that's the case. But he probably had to be slapped around a few times in order to get his mind right. But
is CM Punk coming back to work a match? I don't see it, but a CM Punk match and then a Rock match, that's a hell of a title run in a short period of time for Roman Reigns. And The Rock did talk openly about putting Roman Reigns over in the future.
You know, if you ever go back to WrestleMania,
who would be the opponent that you would face? And it feels like the one that would make sense, right, would be Roman. In terms of box office draw,
family. That would be huge. The family, the story. But, you know, what it always comes down to is, like, who goes over? Who's winning that one when you bring those two titans into the ring, huh? Where's the finish
on
that?
I'll tell you this right now. I know how that works. I'm not going down that road. Listen, here's what we're thinking. Roman beats you now at this WrestleMania. But listen, before you guys say anything, each other. And on the next one, that's what
let me just start with this. Middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3. Real quick in the first one. But then the next one.
You're real quick. 1, 2, 3. Boom.
Boom. Real quick.
Do you know what? The truth is, I would be honored not only to share the ring with Roman and to go back in the WWE, but of course, man, I would be honored to, you know, have him raise his hand in that one.
So, Mike Riley, CM Punk?
No. And you know what? I'm not even going to get my hopes up with it, because we've thought that CM Punk would be at the first AEW All Out a couple of years ago in Chicago. And
no, he went to the post-show party and hung out with Conrad and everybody who was there.
Okay, so, but, you know, the whole
Oh, no. I'm going home to watch hockey with my wife, AJ. And I'm just joking about the hockey thing. But he told everybody at StarCast, no, he's going to go home and just be home because he can drive home. Nope, he went to the StarCast party that night.
So he was FOS. And I just, yeah, no, I'm not buying into CM Punk. Now, listen, if he does show up out of the blue, I'd rather be surprised. I'm not going to invest any emotional attachment to it, because every time that happens, it's a letdown and it's not worth it. So not even thinking about him. He's off my radar. No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, would it be cool to see Roman and CM Punk? Absolutely. But as far as a fan attachment to it and feeling like, yeah, I'm all in on this, I got to see these two go at it, not even thinking about it. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't even consider CM Punk a potential opponent for Roman Reigns right now. But you would be in.
I don't see CM Punk wrestling anymore anyway.
Yeah.
I think he's just mentally past that part of his life. But here's my final thought on Roman Reigns versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
The comment that Roman makes about Punk making Roman's life harder. Did Punk really make it harder? And here's why. Here's why I asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
December 14th, 2014, I went back and I watched it. That's a common Radio Clutch thing about, oh, go back and watch it, because nobody actually does.
Yep.
Except unless you're in the broadcasting world.
Right.
So I went back and watched TLC 2014. This is December 14th. Roman Reigns announces himself for the Royal Rumble match. The crowd cheers, right? So we fast forward to Royal Rumble 2015 in Philadelphia.
He was supposed to win.
The music is too loud to tell if he gets cheered or booed, right, on his entrance.
Mm-hmm.
But once he gets the advantage, he's beating up Cody and Goldust. He gets booed pretty good. But I emphasize the fact that it's Philadelphia. So Roman wins that Rumble. He gets booed as he's beating up Big Show and Kane. The Rock comes out to thunderous ovation, right? The Rock then endorses Roman after he's won the Rumble and gets booed. And Rock's kind of giving the stink eye to the Philadelphia crowd.
Mm-hmm.
When Rusev comes back into the ring, Philly is chanting for Rusev to win.
Yeah.
Now, you back up to the 2014 Royal Rumble. Roman's hot as a pistol. He just breaks the record for Kane for eliminations.
Right.
At 12 or 13. And Batista, who nobody wants to see win this Rumble.
Yep.
The crowd is chanting for Roman to win the Rumble. Batista ultimately wins, boos. I think he flipped off a fan.
Yeah.
But the point is that the crowd was with Roman for a time, but it's Philly, so it's hard to kind of decipher.
Right.
But then you go to WrestleMania 31. He's booed out of the building in San Francisco. He's booed out of the building in Dallas. But if you look around the crowd, and I noticed that this lit up to me back in February when SmackDown was in Boston.
Yeah.
The people wearing Roman merchandise.
Remember when we were above crowds?
Yeah, I know, right?
Ugh.
So, like, I remember that very specifically because there was a bunch of people sitting around me, and they've got every Roman Reigns shirt on, the glove gimmick, and they're super hyped for Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking at San Francisco, when I was looking at Philadelphia, I was looking at all these different crowd shots. Roman people, they've all got the merch on. So it also makes me, they did this Royal Rumble DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene after that 2015 Rumble of Michael Hayes telling Roman Reigns in the gorilla position after the match, it's not about this crowd. It's not about the Philly crowd. It's about the global audience.
Mm.
And the global audience also travels to San Francisco, Mr. Doot Doot Doot.
Yep.
So the boos are loud. The cheers are hard to catch.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at the merchandise sales. And that's, you have to look at the gloves, the shirts. Vets. Remember when we were in Worcester for a house show?
Yep.
And Roman was fighting Strowman, I think, in the main event. And Roman took a selfie with me. He took a selfie with you.
Yep.
And there was a gentleman to my left, mm-hmm, who he might have been in his 30s, and he's screaming for Roman the whole time.
Yep.
But he's got everything on.
Yep.
He's got the glove. He's got the vest. He's got it all on. And so the point is that I don't know that it made it harder for Roman. I just think it made the boos be louder for Roman from the hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And it made booing Roman Reigns the cool thing to do, because CM Punk was like, oh, you got to make Roman look strong, which we all knew was going on. But for Punk to actually verbalize it in a public setting, mm-hmm, is, I think, what may have Roman thinking that, oh, well, this made my job harder. It didn't. It just made it different. So when he's out there being booed because he beat The Undertaker, it's actually better because more people are reacting.
Right.
So there's a case to be made that it actually helped Roman because that reaction got louder. And Roman standing in the middle of the ring after WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, he's just doing the money sign, and he gets to stand there while they boo him for 10 minutes. And he goes, this is my yard, and walks off.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fireworks go off to close out the show. The other thing, you know, you talk about the merchandise with Roman, and it makes me think right away, everyone, you know, having his little hardcore crew of Roman fans. And sure, like you say, it's the cool thing to boo Roman Reigns, but it's very similar to what happened with John Cena. I mean, John Cena was the hottest thing for kids. And for years, there were people that wanted John Cena to turn heel. So here we are now. And I think that's what never happened with John Cena here turning heel. So they can do it with this guy, Roman Reigns. And this is it. This is what we're getting. We never got with John Cena. And that's exactly how I feel about it with Roman when he has, you know, all, like I said, the lunchbox, like you said, the lunchbox, the t-shirts, all that stuff, the vests and so forth. Those people are there. They're still fans of his, but deep down, they're not the ones booing him when everyone else is booing him. They're holding on to him like, you know, whatever they can. And for years, Vince would not turn John Cena heel, but now test the waters and do it with Roman Reigns. That's the way I see everything here, especially in this pandemic.
I don't know necessarily that Roman is bringing in the same revenue that John was.
Yeah.
And I think Roman's was more open to it. I think John Cena never was open to it because when his rapper, he said this, I think he said this on Corey Graves' podcast, when he was doing the rapper thing and there was one show where he looked out and it's all kids, he went to Vince and he's like, I can't do the rapper thing anymore because it's kids.
Yeah.
And so once he became the guy who loves all the kids, he's not going to turn his back on them.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a credit to what John wanted to be.
Right.
And that's, he wanted to be the never give up guy.
Right. And it worked.
It still worked. I mean, yeah.
He's still booed. Yeah. People still boo him.
Oh, of course, because it's the cool thing to do.
And that's what they do with Roman. That's what they did with Roman, too. And they probably still will.
And in 6 months, they'll all be cheering him when he's still, you know, doing his right. thing, which will be what they want.
Right.
But here's an interesting little thing, right? Because I notice these things. If you go to WWE shop, and this is a sign that I think his merch is still doing well.
Yeah.
Because the show up and win t-shirt is great. The wreck everybody and leave t-shirt is great. It's just awesome. Very simple stuff.
Good logo.
So WWE shop does these specials, yeah. You know, get it for, yep. You got the hoodie on, you got the,
Tougher Than Cancer Leukemia Lymphoma Society one.
Yep.
There you go.
So Roman's merchandise. So WWE shop does all these different specials. It's like buy one t-shirt, get one for $1 or $15 yep. t-shirts or $20 t-shirts, whatever the case may be. Roman's merch has still been the same. It hasn't been put into effect in that $15 t-shirt range.
Yeah, no sales.
It's a sign to me that his merch is doing very well because mm-hmm. they don't need to lower the price on it.
Yeah. Yeah. The only, I'm actually looking at it right now, the only one that's on sale, it's his old, the Guard the Yard one. That's really it. And the leukemia.
But look around. So like Bailey put out a new t-shirt. Sasha put out a new t-shirt mm-hmm. and they have been on sale for 20 or 15 bucks, whatever their buy one, get one for $1, whatever the yeah. promotion is at the time. So that's a sign that Roman's merch is doing really well.
You know, and also it's funny you said that because I was poking around with the Undertaker merchandise too. No sale on that. So there's just, there are some particular ones, even like Ric Flair, not a lot of sales on his. Hogan, I believe, too. So, yeah, you're right. The big top-tier guys don't really have that because they're probably crushing it.
So. You know, one thing as we transition to other things on SmackDown that I want to
yep.
get to.
Yep.
Jey Uso and AJ Styles, fabulous match.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent TV match. Made me think AJ Styles has to be going back to Raw, right? Because Paul Heyman's now attached to Roman on SmackDown.
Yep. I think AJ is going to feud with Drew McIntyre.
Coming soon.
Yep. I think that's going to be, that'll be the perfect scenario for Drew McIntyre. Perfect guy to go up right against, you know, Drew McIntyre, AJ Styles, and those two for the WWE Championship. AJ Styles is a heel right now. Drew McIntyre as a babyface. Oh, bring it on. I am all
in. Think about how fortunate Drew McIntyre has been. You know, and he's been a victim of the pandemic, and I would recommend people go watch the WWE special on him. It's
really good.
Tremendous.
Yep.
But Drew McIntyre wins the title from Brock, and he's stuck in a pandemic, so he doesn't get the full force of winning the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
He beats Brock. He gets Seth Rollins. He gets to work with Dolph Ziggler. He's in a program with Randy Orton. And he might be going to a program with AJ Styles.
Huge. Awesome.
Like, tremendous.
Yep.
Tremendous. You get to work with all these great talents as the WWE Championship.
Yeah.
As the WWE Champion. Like, that's good stuff.
And WrestleMania, don't forget, that was pre-Thunderdome, right? Yep.
So yeah, that's kind of my point, is that if he's getting to work with all these great in-ring talents,
mm-hmm.
and it's a blessing, and I would hope that it would still be the same. Pandemic, no pandemic.
Yep.
But I know something that I think we're going to disagree on this. I hope we are.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Sasha Banks versus Bayley is scheduled for this week's SmackDown, the same night as the draft. Mike Riley's giving me the thumbs down, so I'll let you start. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hate it. I don't think it's necessary to have this happen right here on this particular SmackDown. So what that tells me is that one of these two are going to Raw. One's going to Raw, one's going to SmackDown. We'll stay on SmackDown. That's what I'm reading through the lines on this. I would rather see these two build up more of the rival, talk about the, you know, their former relationship and everything, and give us a great match. And now they probably will fight Hell in a Cell. Okay. You touched on that. They're going to close on it. It's not official yet.
Well, that's Russell Votes.
Okay.
He's been a little suspect of lately.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, the WrestleMania, we'll talk about that after, but, I don't know. I just think that you should build up, talk about this rival a little longer here the next 3 weeks and go into the Hell in the Cell. Don't have them fight right here on SmackDown and Raw, SmackDown and have one of them go to Raw. If that's the case, then this needs to be put to bed until maybe the Royal Rumble, where one of them wins the Rumble match and then challenges that champion, whoever is the champion in WrestleMania. So I think that's the best case scenario. If they're going to do this Friday, I don't want to see this feud happen for another few months, because I don't want to see it happen in Hell in a Cell after this. No, sorry.
So it's scheduled for SmackDown, and I think there are two scenarios here. One is a disqualification. Ugh. Sasha just beats the hell out of her, or Sasha's about to win and Bayley does something and gets disqualified. And that leads to the Hell in a Cell match.
Yep.
The other is they're flipping the title to Sasha Banks. And it's the season premiere of SmackDown, or whatever they want to call it. It's the year anniversary. It's the draft night. So they want to do something big. And so why not give Sasha Banks the title? Bayley wants a rematch. They do it in Hell in a Cell, and then Bayley gets it back because Sasha can't defend the title. She can't successfully defend a singles title, so it's just kind of, it just continues the rib on her.
Okay.
But if I were leaning one way, I would say it's a disqualification finish leading to Hell in a Cell where Sasha wins, and then Sasha goes on a run with the title for a long time. And I thought that they should have done this when she had that great countout victory over Asuka on Raw, however many months ago. Mm-hmm. But I think that when and if Sasha Banks gets the title off of Bayley, I think this is her run with the title.
If she does get the title off, were you saying that Bayley's going to Raw? Is that what you said? Too?
No.
You got Bayley saying.
Yeah, they can keep Bayley. They can keep Bayley there.
See, I think you got to split them.
Because what I think is happening is they can cycle through, and they'll send Bayley home, or they'll put her in another program with Alexa Bliss, or they'll put her in another story with if Charlotte comes back. Mm-hmm. Like they can just move people around.
Yeah.
Just because Bayley isn't in the title program after being in the title program for more than 500 days,
it's crazy.
Which is great for Bayley. Like,
yeah.
Bayley, when she went from NXT to Raw, they didn't know, Vince didn't see the same character that I saw in NXT, or at least she wasn't promoted as such.
Right, right.
Like, if you follow that Bayley story in NXT, you get it. And then she has the triumphant win where she's super fan. She wants to be everybody's friend, and she gets turned on at every turn and fails and fails and fails. And then she finally gets the right opportunity.
Yeah.
And she finally wins and gets over the hump and becomes the NXT Women's Champion.
Right.
But then when she got to Raw, they kind of just threw the belt on her over Charlotte, which should have been a bigger deal. It snapped Charlotte's pay-per-view win streak. And then she wins a four-way match at WrestleMania in Orlando, which is much forgettable because it seemed rushed. There was something that was off about it.
Too much on the card.
And then she loses it to Alexa Bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of it for Bayley on Raw.
Yep.
And now, whereas she's been pretty much the SmackDown Women's Champion for 500 days.
Yeah.
This has been a tremendous run. And what will happen is, as soon as she's done with the Sasha program, she'll kind of fade back in, because it seems that like there's a cycle of superstars at the top until they get cycled down. And whether it's a 3-year run or 2-year run, or it just like AJ Styles had a one-off with Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship after his SmackDown run.
Right.
But pretty much AJ Styles hasn't really factored into the main world title picture.
No.
He's been the U.S. champ. He's been the Intercontinental champion. And like I said, the Money in the Bank in Hartford yep. is the one that AJ had the match with Seth Rollins, and then AJ's back down the card again.
Right.
Although Undertaker program is kind of a big deal, but it's more the championship that I'm looking at. I mean, Kevin Owens had that great run, Festival of Friendship, yep. program with John Cena, and now he's kind of, yeah, he's got the program with the McMahons, but it's not really as featured as I think it should be.
Yeah.
There are details there.
I just think that Bayley has been, she's been the flag bearer. She's been a good representative to be at the top of the women's division on SmackDown, where she deserves to have the same sort of run and be in a main event picture for one of the brands. And if she's going to stay on SmackDown, then she's going to win. She's going to retain against Sasha. If she's going to lose to Sasha, then she's got to go to Raw and dominate. And, you know, Raw actually, they actually had a pretty decent number this past week going up against the Kansas City-Baltimore game. Just that third hour is a killer on the ratings is where it dropped. But I think Bayley or Sasha, whoever is to go to Raw, one of the two, it's a perfect situation for that women's division over there. Split them up, get them off the same show, bring this rival back up in a few months.
Yeah, I think that this program is going to go through the year.
No, I mean, it's but then again, so if Sasha wins, you got to keep Bayley right there in that main event picture.
Exactly. And you can do Sasha and Bayley in a TLC match. And you can run parallel to how Charlotte and Sasha Banks had their program. Maybe they flipped the titles back and forth a few times. But I mean, that's the plan through the year.
Just the fact that they're fighting this week on SmackDown, though, I don't like that.
It's a teaser, Mike. It's a teaser.
No, but it makes the Hell in a Cell, if they're going to fight Hell in a Cell, it makes it feel, hopefully it's a DQ.
Teaser to the network audience.
Like you're saying.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, or if they go the opposite end here and have one of them win clean or whatever, then the other goes right to the other show after it. Or they announce, hey, listen, maybe they announce, I don't know, they wouldn't do that for a match, but they'd probably wait till Raw. If Sasha does lose, then they put her on Raw on that Monday.
That would be just so, you know what, this company has done a lot of things, but I think they've been pretty consistent, at least this year, with the Sasha Bayley storyline, so they got to pay it off. I think they have to pay it off.
I hope so. But I don't like this match being placed here, and that's where I'm reading into it. That's my theory on that. So
that's fine. Not a problem at all.
Yeah.
I can't see them blowing it off on the season premiere.
I hope not.
On Fox. I can't see it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, again, to them doing the teaser for Hell in a Cell, but otherwise it also opens up the door to get you more ratings for the Raw, too. They have to look at it. I mean, sure, Fox is going to choose who do they want, Sasha or Bayley. They'll have some sort of say with it. But they're going to also look for that audience on Raw to keep that main event picture strong for the women's division there, too, for one of the two. Those are two of the best women right now in WWE, right there.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and they're in a good story. Yeah. I think something, and I just want to mention this real quickly, and then we'll talk about NXT, because that's a fabulous show. And I didn't want to lead with it because I don't know that there's a lot of like talking points other than say this was great, that was great. But one thing that I find really interesting and really good is this Alexa Bliss Fiend mind control thing. Mm. And why I think it's good is because it's interesting. It gives Alexa Bliss another dimension. It gives the Fiend another dimension. And it keeps the Fiend out of the title picture for now. See, I thought that Roman versus the Fiend was going to be Hell in a Cell, and then they'd blow that off.
Yeah.
But from how WWE stories seem to go, the Fiend got his revenge on Braun Strowman, got the title back, and then dropped it, and then he lost it to Roman, and now he's in something that's interesting, and they'll just put the Fiend on the back burner, and maybe that's a longer play to have the Fiend in your back pocket for a match with Roman Reigns.
Yep.
But, you know, going back to Roman opponents, you know, we still have Bill Goldberg looming in the background because he's got four matches left on his contract in the next 2 years.
Ugh. I'm all set. I'm sorry. So if you're going to have Goldberg, I know you
Alexa, play the hits.
So yeah, listen, so if you're going to have Goldberg and Roman, you just have Goldberg as a face then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It does nothing for me.
But the Fiend, Alexa Bliss, Kevin Owens segment on SmackDown, I thought was tremendous. Mm-hmm. Kevin Owens is going to have Bray Wyatt on Monday Night Raw, and then Kevin Owens versus the Fiend on SmackDown next week.
And that's fantastic. Good for Kevin Owens getting back in this picture here.
Yeah, and I hope that they give Kevin Owens some sort of challenge. He's the prize fighter again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm Kevin Owens honk, and he should be in the title fight, but they seem to just rather keep him doing his talk show. So
you maybe just keep him on Raw and have a good run there. I mean, you have 3 hours to fill. Otherwise, you could let him have a good run. I mean, listen, if he wants to be this babyface after the Usos situation in Roman, I could totally see him go up against Roman Reigns too. I know you talked about Samoa Joe before, but throw him over on SmackDown, and that would be a good little title run right there if Kevin Owens wants to be this babyface that he is, right?
They can do another run of Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns, because remember they feuded when Kevin was the Universal Champion and Roman was the U.S. Champion. Yeah,
that's right. Yep.
One of the best videos I've taken was at the TD Garden. It was me, you, and Andy Wong.
Yep.
And Kevin Owens has Roman in a chin lock, and he's just talking trash to the fans.
Yep. It's awesome.
That's tremendous stuff. That's how good a talker Kevin Owens is.
Talking right to your camera, too. He's looking right at it, I think.
Yep. He knew. He knew. NXT TakeOver happened tonight, and it came to us from the Capital Wrestling Center, which is the new name for the remodeled set at the WWE Performance Center. And of course, if you don't know, the name pays tribute to Jess McMahon's Capital Wrestling Corporation that was founded in 1953. So the WWE let some fans in.
Yep.
They had a mask mandate, although if you were looking in the background, you saw fans taking off their masks, putting them back on, and just all around with it. But what I think this is going to lead to, Mike Riley, is, from what I understand, and maybe this was somewhere, but I had somebody tell me this, so if it's out there and I'm saying it as my own inside information, I apologize.
Well, what do you got?
WWE is going to start letting fans into buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have these pods that they kind of set up a template for. They're going to have to wear a mask. And they're going to have these 20-minute rapid result COVID tests. So it's similar to what AEW is doing for their own performers and family members and that stuff. So if WWE is doing this and they're going to start touring with this, good for them. Mm-hmm. Good for them for finally figuring out how to do this. And you have to hope that the 20-minute rapid result test is accurate. But good for them for trying this and for ultimately getting it right when seemingly they couldn't do anything right during the pandemic. And we're still in a pandemic.
Yeah.
But good for them for trying to figure out a way to get their business back to some sort of normalcy, because they have to have a template for WrestleMania, because it doesn't look like it's going to be in Los Angeles.
No.
If you're watching Sunday Night Football, the authorities essentially came into the NBC booth and told Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth, put a mask on while you're doing play-by-play.
I'll talk about that in just a moment there. As a public address announcer, okay, at Gillette Stadium, Patriots and Revolution, Seamus plug, you can't wear a mask when you're talking on the microphone. You can't do it. You're sitting in one place in a situated spot. You're not moving. No one's going to. Now, listen, there's no crowd there, but when there is a crowd, you can't talk with the freaking mask on. How are you going to do it? So the best solution is with the windows open. They're in an open stadium. They're fine. They can't talk with masks on. It's just impossible. Now, if you're in a building where WWE, the Capitol Center, Full Sail University, they are probably more at risk for not wearing a mask. It's kind of like going, people take that risk going out to restaurants, eating indoors. You're sitting in a spot for a situated amount of time where that's more of a risk there without the windows and so forth. So I don't know how the hell they're going to do that to talk without a mask. It doesn't make sense.
Well, so,
sorry, with the mask.
It's why I think California is out altogether.
Oh, they're done. It's over.
With WrestleMania, and that's why I think it's going to be Tampa, because they can do more.
Well,
they can have more, quote, normalcy in Tampa, and that's why I think WrestleMania is going to be there. And I think, you know, they've got this truckload of equipment and you know, banners and displays and all that stuff, so get it out to the boat. The boat is the stadium, is the football stadium in Tampa.
Buccaneers. Right, yeah, the pirate ship. Yep, yeah, and you know, we talked about that 2 weeks ago here in the show, where Staples Center, and the Staples Center had the, you know, the booking there of the concert, and I'm like, oh boy, wait a minute. So here it is. It fall back to Tampa, and that opens up the door too for SummerSlam to possibly happen here in Boston. Oh boy. Now this is what I wanted to talk about. You talk about the pods.
Boston.
So, hold on. You talk about the pods there for the fans, you know, for WWE to tour, and I heard the same stuff too. The only thing is, though, it's going to be based on regulations for city and state. That's the only way, right? Okay. So if they're going to come, if they want to come to Boston, that's not going to happen anytime soon. That's just out of the picture. You can't have a crowd there. But other ones that will allow it, absolutely, they're all in. They'll do whatever they can. So,
ironically enough, Fenway Park would be a good venue for SummerSlam. The sight lines would be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should do it at Gillette.
Yeah.
And you've been to Gillette Stadium. I've only seen the photos, but it looks like that Gillette Stadium is being set up for socially distanced something.
The painting is on the, in the concession stands, you know, where the enter here, exit here. And then the feet are down, you know, put your feet here, and then it's another 6 feet up. Kind of like what you see in the stores and everything, the same stuff like that. That has been painted. However, though, James, with the Cam Newton situation also, you know, the travel restriction in Rhode Island, I don't know how that's going to pan out here for Gillette Stadium. So
yeah, but they're getting ready for it. They're getting ready for something.
Yeah, yep. So it's interesting. But for WrestleMania, though, all signs are that it'll be in Tampa Bay. Florida has been so open about having everything reopened and so forth. They had a crowd at the Buccaneers game this weekend, so they'll be all in on WrestleMania. Are you kidding me? They got screwed out of it this year.
Florida's been open for business for a while because Jacksonville, the Jags, who own the other wrestling company.
Right.
They've been having fans in, and they've been testing people. It's just, as long as you're working with the mayor and the governor, there's a great story. So the mayor of Jacksonville attended one of the AEW shows.
Yep.
And he was prompted to pull his mask up by a friend of ours, and I won't say who it is.
Oh, okay.
But somebody who you and I both know.
Oh.
The person, our friend, didn't know it was the mayor of Jacksonville that he was telling to put his mask up.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you right now, the other benefit for Florida, too, here is, there was a spike in numbers with COVID over the summer, but people were going indoors. It's so hot in Florida. Now it's a little better. They're going to be outdoors, and I think the numbers will go down there in Florida, so you're going to see more business open up. And that opens the door for WrestleMania.
It definitely does. It 100% opens the door for WrestleMania in Tampa.
Yeah.
NXT tonight, fabulous show, top to bottom. Might have been the best takeover of the year.
Wow.
It felt to me as close to a quote normal takeover. The quality of the matches, just the feel, the vibe.
Yeah.
You know, the last two matches were just outstanding. You know, the Balor O'Reilly fight, and I didn't think Kyle O'Reilly was going to win.
Yeah.
But it had a main event feel.
Mm-hmm.
They had that, eminent, I forget what it's that theme, and I'll post produce it and I'll put it underneath. But it's a vibe that
eminent domain.
Eminent domain is what the actual bet is called, where O'Reilly's coming out and they're doing the walk. And I think the first time we saw this was Survivor Series 97 with Michaels and Bret. We all know what happened there. But it just, that main event, it felt like a main event.
Yep.
Even though Kyle O'Reilly, tremendous grappler, tremendous wrestler, there's a part of me that I wanted to see Kyle O'Reilly win so he could do the air guitar with the belt. But O'Reilly and Balor, tremendous match.
Mm-hmm.
Good story. Just go a ahead, tremendous use it. Match.
we should do that. Oh, sorry.
I thought it was good that they started slow, mm-hmm. coming off of the women's match, which was outstanding. And yeah. I've been a big Candice LeRae fan for a long time, since I watched her go toe to toe with Shayna Baszler and Lowell on a house show. Mm-hmm. LeRae's got to get the women's title at some point.
Yeah.
But just the Balor O'Reilly match, and I didn't feel like there was a lot of buzz going into this NXT show. I thought just they started slow and they built up their match to the finish. Mm-hmm. So when Balor hits the coup de grace at the end, you know it's the end.
Right, right. And it just, to your point, talking about the whole pay-per-view, not a real big build-up here at all. It almost, in fact, going into the show, before watching anything, I was like, this is a forced show. And those are the best ones where you don't have high expectations and it turns out to be a good one. Now, I actually liked TakeOver Portland better than this one. I really enjoyed that earlier this year, but this was a good TakeOver. A great spot there for Kyle O'Reilly to be there with Finn Balor in the main event match right there. I mean, a good match all around, back and forth. And sure, that would have been cool for Kyle O'Reilly to be a champion. I think it would have been a whole shock effect too. But
that would have shocked the system for Adam Cole 100%.
Well, yeah, and then what the hell happened to him after the match? Getting attacked there, right? So
yeah, we'll see where that story goes.
Yeah,
but I loved the new aggressive Kushida.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten how good he was, and his aggression coming from New Japan to the States,
yeah,
like that's next level.
Yep.
And as I'm watching him dominate Velveteen Dream, which I think makes him the number one good guy in NXT based upon all the stuff that's gone on with Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
It made me want a Balor Kushida fight.
Wow. Okay.
Like, yeah, I think it can be that good.
Kushida had that nice little hoverboard lock on the Dream, and Velveteen couldn't get over to the rope there, so Kushida got him back and he kept the hold on him and then the tap out. So that was really awesome way to end the submission right there. That would be a good match. That'd be a damn good match, those two right there. Love that. What about Ember Moon? Ember Moon returning,
Her and Tori Storm are back.
That's a good little...
That women's division continues to get better.
Yeah.
And is doing something that AEW hasn't been able to do, and that's...
Right.
Put women in big spots and make people care about the NXT Women's Championship. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important thing is that AEW has to focus on their women's division. I think,
yeah.
I think realistically, give Brandi Rhodes a crack with it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe she's not the in-ring performer mm-hmm. that some of the other women are.
Yeah.
But I think enough people are invested in the Rhodes family and the Nightmare family,
right,
that she can do good things with that title. And especially if she's cheating to win,
right,
like that might be something that you have to look into, is you're taking the better promo over the better in-ring style as right. far as your champion goes.
And she's a name too, and a good little way to build up that promotion.
She's a natural heel. Have you heard her talk at length?
She's fantastic. She has a capability of being the heel and a face. That's how good she is. But she's a better heel, yes. And I think Cody's a better heel as well, too.
which I think we're going to start to see
coming soon.
We're going to see going forward.
Yeah, coming soon.
And so that's going to transition to us on our last point on AEW, unless you have something else from NXT TakeOver.
No, I mean, listen, for a show that I had low expectations for, I actually enjoyed it. It was good. Good show.
So I had NXT TakeOver expectations, but I just didn't feel there was a lot of buzz around the show.
Well, yeah, I mean,
there's a difference.
And the TakeOvers are typically the night before a SummerSlam, a Survivor Series. It was a Sunday night, a random Sunday night. Right?
Yep. So, NXT Portland a few months ago was a Sunday night, I believe.
That's true. It was in February. Yeah. Yep.
So AEW is doing 30 years of Chris Jericho, which is cool. Like, Jericho being a mainstay in wrestling for 30 years is tremendous.
Yep.
So he's fighting No, he's not doing that. So he's fighting Brody Lee. No, he's not doing that. So he's fighting Kenny No, he's not doing that.
Thank God.
He's in a tag match with the Chaos Project.
What's
so that about? Chris Jericho celebrating his 30 years in a job match. I mean, if you want to have a tag match, have it be the Young Bucks. Have it be Omega and Page. Have it be FTR. Have it be a title rematch. Have Jericho and Moxley. Like, if you want an ultimate hot shot, but 30 years of Jericho, I would expect him to be in a more featured spot, vying for a championship or having a dream match, something to that effect, not just a tag match with Jake Hager against Chaos Project. Am I missing something?
No.
Or is the shine on Jericho that we're celebrating his 30 years?
Yeah,
he should be in a featured spot, I think.
Right. No, it's so. Here's the thing: you can cut it. Look at it a few ways. Here, I mean, I'm with you on that.
I'm looking at it in the way that they're wasting Chris Jericho's 30th, and they're not hotshotting something. They couldn't see this coming a mile away and give Jericho an important match. Chaos Project.
If they're gonna do 30 years of Jericho and have that, he should have a main event one-on-one title match. Yes, it should be something like that. And Jericho did even touch on it this week. He spoke about it on a podcast. I'm blanking which one it was, but some of his dream matches he would have loved to have had a run with Bret Hart. He talked about Sting. He also said.
Sting.
I know you'd be out on that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. There was who was the other one? There was someone else. I forget who. But anyways, yeah, a tag team match. I'm just looking at it for AEW to, hey, let's find a way to protect them. Put them in there. Tag match. We're just trying to get the ratings that 30 years, because AEW's kind of been, I don't think they've pulled out all the big punches as of late going up against the NBA finals. Okay.
No, they're building to something longer term. They're doing this tournament, which I assume the finals is going to be Paige and Omega.
Right.
And the winner of the tournament final is at full gear in November.
Right.
Their next pay-per-view, which I'll be streaming illegally because they're not getting my $50. Which I think is going to lead to Omega versus Moxley or Omega versus Cody or Omega versus whoever. For their February pay-per-view, which I assume they're hoping that they're going to have fans for.
Yeah.
So now Kenny Omega is going to get his big moment.
Yeah. No. And he's going to cash in now. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste. Just not a good run in AEW at all for Kenny Omega. So
Jerry Lynn had a better ECW run.
I think a lot of people did.
I hate Jerry Lynn.
Yeah.
Think it's a waste of Chris Jericho's 30th anniversary.
This is all about ratings. Just say it's Jericho. Want to get everyone in there. That's all it is. Television.
Have a match. A big time match, not some tag match. Or again, if it's a tag match, it's the Young Bucks. It's a title fight against FTR. It's something that's important, not just Chaos Project.
But to Jericho's credit, maybe, you know, he's the kind of guy who wants to put people over, and that's what he's doing, unselfishly enough, right?
Well, that's what he did for Orange Cassidy.
Right.
He looked at this kid and put him over.
Yeah. So, that's all it is.
Something I want to do on next week's show, which we kind of teased a little earlier, is mm-hmm. I want to look at the 1 year anniversary of All Elite Wrestling. Has it been a positive experience? Has it been a negative experience? What are the good, the bad, the holes, the flaws, all of it? I want to do a deep dive, unless we get some really fascinating breaking news story, in which case we just throw that to the wayside.
Can you believe that's a full year of AEW? Holy cow. Look how much the world has changed in a year.
Yep.
Wow. Unbelievable. We're at that second Dynamite show.
We were. That was the night the Inner Circle was born. That was the night that Joe Murray had his favorite in-person match of all time, which was the Kenny Omega Lights Out match against Joey Janela.
Yeah,
that was a good time.
That was a good time. Fabulous night. Fabulous.
Yep.
So, thank you.
Mike, any closing thoughts?
You know what, folks? As always, please stay healthy.
No good. Each week you can listen to wrestling.
You jackass. Hey, just wash your hands and wear your mask. There you go.
You can do your closing thought.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Okay. Each week you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.